TV Campfire Podcast.
I was like, yep, okay, so you win for the week.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It's one of the best things on television.
Oh! All right, we got you a hold of the
level. No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
That was the best scene ever. Like, that blew me away.
It was absolutely amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 614, and I'm Livia, your host. And this week, we have returning guests.
Malik El-Amin, Artistic Director of Griot Theater.
Hi, this is Allison, and I write reviews for Six Degrees of Deke.
Hi, this is Tom. I chair Visual and Media Arts at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Florida and host the Screen Time podcast on iTunes and Spotify.
Hi, this is Yusun, costume designer and TV enthusiast from Los Angeles.
All right, Tom, hit us with the news. What do you got?
Amazon has given a series order for the Reacher spinoff, The Untitled Neely Project, starring Miss Maria Stinn. Yay!
Yeah, she's good.
Apple TV Plus has picked up Sugar for season two.
CBS. Really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, that's
was not
surprising.
A good show.
Actually, by the end, it actually got weirdly entertaining, but I'm honestly shocked because I thought it had no odd. I thought I was the entire audience of that show.
I watched the pilot and was like, what is this train wreck?
I think it's more a vote of confidence for Colin Farrell.
Pretty much.
Penguin's
yeah.
not supposed
Who's
to go
very good in it, I have to say.
Season. The Neighborhood at CBS has added Glenn Turman as Tina's father. CBS Studios has attached Meryl Streep to star in series adaptation of Jonathan Franzen's novel, The Corrections. FX is more... Ryan Murphy is returning to FX with Evan Peters for the series adaptation of Image Comics' The Beauty. Ashton Kutcher, Anthony Ramos, and Jeremy Pope will co-star, and they gave a series order for Ethan Hawke and Starlin Harjo's pilot, The Sensitive Kind, Tulsa Noir about a guy who knows too much. The cast also includes Keith David, Gene Triplehorn, Tim Blake Nelson, Tracy Letts, Kyle MacLachlan, and Killer Mike. HBO is in talks for Kyle Chandler to play Hal Jordan in Lanterns, which I think is fantastic.
I like him a lot, so I think that would work.
Hulu has announced that Ryan Murphy's legal drama All's Fair has cast Ed O'Neill in a recurring role, and Hulu canceled Unprisoned and Black Cake. Netflix has announced that Brittany Snow, Natalie Morales, David Lyons, and Tim Guinea have been cast in the drama series The Beast in Me. Kurt Sutter has exited the Western series The Abandons weeks before production wraps. Drama! Evidently, production problems. The pilot length was way longer than they wanted, and micromanagement just like, ooh. And they've also canceled that 90s show. Kurtwood Smith said they're going to shop it around. It's like, dude, that's done. I mean, Netflix is who you shopped around stuff to. Peacock has announced that Simu Liu's untitled espionage thriller has cast Melissa Barrera, Brian D'Arcy James, and Kathleen Chalfant, and two more. And finally, Sci-Fi has canceled Chucky after three seasons.
Wow. I watched season one of that show, and then it just went off. I thought it went off the rails very quickly, but finally, Sci-Fi agrees. So we're going to start off with the shows then. First up, we are talking Chaos, episodes 3 and 4. And Tom, can you start us off? Because you gave the summary of what happened.
So episode 3, we kind of take a break from the Orpheus-Eurydice plotline. We're going to Minos' kingdom, and a bunch of people, it's being blamed on the Trojans, have defiled a monument to the gods.
It's being blamed on the Trojans because it was the Trojans, actually.
Oh, still. Everybody knows it is, but still. Zeus is mad.
You made it sound like they were being blamed and were innocent. And I was like...
Tom is saying allegedly.
Anyway, Zeus is mad. He tells Bro Poseidon to kill them. Poseidon's... waffling, Hera basically tells Poseidon, do what he wants, humor him, he's in a snit, blah, blah, blah. Poseidon, it's like telephone. Poseidon tells Minos kill them, but Minos' daughter's like, she's guilty because she smothered her baby brother during when they were born years ago.
No, not when they were born, when they were toddlers.
Anyway, yeah. The Furies are after her. she knows the Furies are going to be after her, and the episode starts with somebody getting ganked by the Furies. And you can only see the Furies if they're coming for you. So she goes to Daddy and says, "Ooh, for my birthday present, you said I could have anything? I want the lives of the Trojans." And he's like,
What?
"Sure, honey." And that does not go over well with the gods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I
Mind
think this episode, the real thrust of what this episode is about is because the first two episodes we were really in the story of Orpheus
Eurydice.
and Eurydice,
Eurydice.
and then this is the first time where we really get to see the story from the what's the daughter's name? Someone help me out. The main character that's she's the
Ari?
daughter of the king. Yeah, Ari, I think is it she's the daughter of the king, right? It's
Of
her
Minos.
birthday. Of Minos, yeah. So it's really her story. So we're getting a third perspective because they tell you that the prophecy is about three people. And she's one of those people. And we need to get her backstory and find out like what her motivation is and what, you know, her whole thing. And so this episode is really introducing her, the third prong of
Although
this
we've
story.
seen her briefly in passing.
We literally saw her in passing. Like they're like, oh, later on she's gonna be important, you know, like,
Yes.
and
And I think,
so
doesn't Prometheus say later on she's going
yes, see,
to
that's what I
be important?
said. Yes.
So.
So then we get this story and we finally get her perspective. And I like the idea of the Trojans being like still relevant. Like they are a kingdom that is still opposing the Greek. Like I like that aspect of it. I think it's interesting. And I think showing that they've defeated, like how you treat your enemies or the people you defeat really show who you are. And so I think that that's a really good measure of showing that these people are not, Minos is not really the great king that they're making him seem because you see how badly he
Minos
treats
was
the Trojans.
never a great king in mythology either.
No,
I'm
No.
just saying by us observing how he treats the Trojans, you understand why the Trojans did what they did, and you kind of get all of that. Like I thought that was a really good insight into them. Malik, you have a thought? I can see your brain percolating.
Well, I'm going to start off where you left off, which is something else that I really appreciate about the show. What you just mentioned about the portrayal of the Trojans. In Greek mythology in general, once the Trojan War happens and Troy falls, there's a little bit of story about what happens immediately after Troy falls, and then there's not much story. So what's interesting here is that they start to pick up and imagine what happens with the defeated Trojans
Right.
who are living now as a minority without power in this larger society, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's another piece. Well, what's also interesting, I found it a little disturbing at first, but I decided to accept what this story is doing. In most of Greek mythology, the character of Theseus is already a hero and already a leader. And here he's a head of security. When I was like, that's Theseus? What's happening here? And so they're playing with time a little bit. And so I imagine I've only watched up to what we've agreed to for this show. So I imagine they're actually showing Theseus become Theseus, whereas in most of the stories that I've read, he's already Theseus. So I had a little difficulty kind of reconciling that Theseus was head of security at the point, because that's not the Theseus I remember.
But he's head of security for the king. It's not like he's head of security at the mall. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's a distinction. I didn't think that was that big of a demotion, is my point.
It felt like it at first. I mean, at first he was like, almost go get me a cup of coffee, make sure it's 2 lumps of sugar. Like at first, he kind of seemed low level to me. But as his story develops, and particularly in the next episode, he becomes more active in the plot line.
Right. Yusen, Allison, sorry. Do you want to start talk about the next episode? Your thoughts?
My problem with that, I'm really more following you guys along right now because I finished the entire series. So it's like it's such a blur to me as to what is in each episode. I don't want to say something and then discover, oh no, that's actually episode seven. Sorry. Oops,
Okay, well then
spoilers.
do you want to talk about your well the whole story with Ari and Minos, you know, her father is like, well, the creepy thing, because how about talk about this? How about the fact that she, you know, killed her brother as a toddler, and then her mom has this thing where she makes these wax dolls of the son
Oh
as he
God.
grows up is the
Creepy.
creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I was not prepared for that, actually. I mean, it's like we get to this room of these mannequin things straight out of a horror movie. And I mean, mom is not well in the head, clearly. So that was an awesome image. That was a visual that stuck with me.
But for me, it also let you know why Ari can't let go of this guilt because no
No,
one will
because she's,
let
well, it's
her.
being, it's exactly, it's being forced on her since childhood. You know, she has grown up with it. She's had it drilled into her head that, you know, it's her fault, her responsibility. Even though it's impossible for someone at her age to have done this deliberately. But
Right.
her, you know, it's been the focus of her mother. Her father is actually more on her side. But even so, there's just this sense of responsibility for this thing, an
Obligation,
obligation.
yeah.
And also that's, I think it goes a long way to show her fidelity to her father, even when he does questionable things, because he is depending on her so utterly in the absence of her brother.
I agree.
So she takes that on.
Go ahead, Malik.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd point out what's just, again, as a fan of Greek mythology, I love when they bring in other storylines. So, I mean, to be clear, Ari, who was Ariadne in the Greek story, she's not even a toddler when she smothers her brother. She's like, they're sleeping as infants, and she rolls over and he suffocates. So
Right.
it's even more out of her control. Well, I find it interesting that they introduced the three Furies
Right.
into the story. And they tell us in the beginning, the Furies are not fair. The
Right.
Furies take revenge, but they're not fair.
They've
So it's,
never been fair.
yes. So I think that's important. But also, you'd mentioned the mother doing these crazy wax images of the dead child. They also introduce Daedalus, the character
Oh, right.
who is the father of
Icarus.
not Icarus, right? So just bringing in these familiar characters into the story, I think is very cool. So it is exciting.
Yeah, they
When we
weave everything together in a really unique way. And the thing is, they don't feel beholden to the way that they're depicted in Greek mythologies. The characters who you think of as heroic are maybe not so much. People who are supposed to be villains have a legitimate reason for the things that they do and are sympathetic. And I think their depiction of the Furies is fantastic. I
Yeah.
love the three of them. Each one is so unique in their own way.
But they're like chick
Yeah, I love that. I love
bikers
that. It's great. I love their depiction of the Fates as well. I
or
mean,
something. I was going to say, we didn't talk
yeah,
about the Fates enough
the
last
Fates are
time. You
bring in Eddie Izzard to
Eddie
do
Izzard.
anything, and I'm going to be right there.
Let's
So
talk about that. Let's segue into that really quick, which is the next episode, where Orpheus is now wants to follow his wife to the underworld, and so they go to this
Eurydice.
get registered to the underworld, so they go to this bar, which is like a karaoke bar, but like I was like, wait, and so you have to do some performance to prove that you love this person enough so that they will let you into the underworld, and it's like a competition or something. And the parents of this dead child do this like mime thing with a
Oh,
hanger,
God.
which I was like, it was, but I have to give them credit. It was super sad. Like, I was like,
It
oh my
was
God.
heartbreaking.
It was really, and he was like, how am I supposed to top that? You know, like, what am I doing to top that? And so he plays
Maybe
music.
sing.
He sings, he plays music, and it's good, but they're still like, yeah, you didn't top the parents. Sorry, dude. And so then you have, what is the son? Dionysus
Dionysus.
trades his dad's watch for him for Orpheus to get a spot. So then two of them get to go into the underworld. And that is crazy because they're like, oh, we could totally work together. And I knew immediately that wasn't gonna work out. Because somebody was gonna betray somebody. Go ahead,
But
Malik.
can we talk about the opening of episode
Four.
four,
Go ahead.
where Prometheus is
Charon.
with his lover,
Charon.
and he tells him, "I need you to do something for me,
Oh my God.
and I need you to swear that you will help somebody for me." And then when we see him stab him in the neck, I was watching with my wife, and she was like, "How are you going to ask somebody for a favor and then kill him?" And I was like, "Brilliantly, because he needs the help in the underworld."
Yep.
I was thrilled with how they set that up for you to
But
hopefully
if there is
fuck.
a moral there in that, when someone asks you to do a favor, get the specifics first.
And also, I have to say, if you ask me for a favor and then murder me, I'm done. I am
Yeah,
not doing
I'll
that
bet you're
favor.
up.
Oh yeah, I'm not doing that favor, man. Just FYI, just you know.
It's interesting their portrayal of Prometheus, because in myth he's usually more of a heroic figure because he gave fire to mankind and Zeus punishes him. But the fact that he has this weird frenemieship with Zeus, even though he's totally not on Zeus's side, but he's deceitful and devious as the rest of the gods. It's like,
Well, I think he has to be just to, you know, first of all, there is this prophecy that he's working on that he knows if he needs to do certain things to make this prophecy happen. And it's important because this is going to change everything and essentially free everyone. So, and not least of all himself. So he has to play along. It's a very long game.
long, serious long game.
Lot
Serious long,
gone.
the kind of long game only a god could do.
Yeah. Like it was crazy.
So anyway,
So,
in the underworld,
well, I don't want to get we do have to wrap this up. We got like five other shows, but go ahead, just quickly.
oh, basically, or what's this? Orpheus turns on the grieving father, and then when Charon sees the mark on Orpheus's hand, he literally throws the other dude overboard for Scylla, the Scylla, to get him. And we never
Yeah.
see the creature, but we just see him go under. And so he's on to rescue Riddhi, who needs a better
Yes.
nickname.
Well, I mean, it's just like I find it amusing that they've shortened almost everyone's name.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's name, they get like the shortened American version of it, which is hilarious to me.
Oh, and Zeus is playing human skeet with his.
Oh my
Oh!
God. Having
Having them jump off the roof, shoots them. They die either the gunshot wound or the fall. Meanwhile, of course, it's Dionysus, we know, took the watch,
Oh
gets
my
it back,
goodness.
presents to the dad as like, "Oh, look what I found."
Yeah, but in the
Oh
interest
man.
of wrapping it up, so we end in that episode with Eurydice and I forgot the other guy who's helping her.
Anus.
Yes, finding out at the end that the person who they thought went through the frame is actually in that underground cellar,
Oh,
almost like
frozen.
a statue or something like
Yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah. But then
So
there's like this particle things that are
it's
just
almost
like,
like they're dissolving, right? It's almost like, the snap almost, but
but like in slow motion.
Well, as soon as
yeah.
I saw the frame and people were, you know, disappearing into it, I thought that doesn't take people where they think they're gonna go. I just know that.
I was naive. I thought it did. Like I was very surprised. I was
Really?
very surprised.
To me, it's a little bit, we don't know what's next because we haven't watched, we're going to pretend like we haven't watched the next episode, but it reminds me of Soylent Green, that movie from the 70s, where once you reach a certain age, they think you go to the happy place and it turns out you become food for the people or something like
Everybody
that.
else.
So I'm anxious to, I'm curious to see the next episode to see what that means.
All right.
But I think this show is just incredible. Yeah.
So we're
It's a
doing
great show.
two thumbs up. All right.
Yeah.
Next up, we're gonna do Slow Horses, and we're gonna talk episodes 3 and 4. And I don't remember exactly where those are, but I can say one thing with absolute certainty, and that is David Cartwright is an idiot, no matter which episodes we're talking about. Like I could
River
just.
Cartwright.
River
Oh, right.
Cartwright. David's the grandfather.
David
Grandfather.
is
The
he's
grandfather.
gone
Sorry.
for other
Yeah,
reasons.
River. I meant River. Just to be clear, I meant River. He because now because in episode 2 he went to France, and he was doing his investigation. At the end, he gets knocked out by some random guy that he doesn't know what's going on, and he wakes up and he's in this house, and they're keeping him prisoner to be questioned. And then they basically figure they mistake it's a case of mistaken identity. They think he's the person that his grandfather killed. And then once he explains it, they're like, oh yeah, we didn't mean to try to kill you. Sorry about that. And it's like now he has to run from like this village with pitchforks who also think he's somebody else. And I was like, only River could get himself into that kind of situation. And it was, I don't know, he just irritates me. And I get that he's supposed to kind of be the hero, I think. I don't know. Are we supposed to be cheering for him?
Yes.
I think sort of we are, but the fact that he's as incompetent as he is part of his character. I mean, it's not like they wrote him dumb and we're not supposed to acknowledge that. I think that's part of his character. The two most competent characters in the show are obviously Lamb and Taverner, and everybody and they have their own issues, but everybody else is just trying to play catch up to the two of them.
I'll
Okay,
also
go.
point out that River Cartwright, every time someone chases him, he stops running at the end thinking he's got away, and then they catch him. It's happened twice now. I'm like, the moral of the story is keep running.
Go ahead, Malik. Go ahead.
I might be jumping ahead episode, so because we're talking about
Three and four.
three and
three and
four.
four. Yeah. So my next, well, in general, I will say this. I wasn't, to me, episodes one and two were kind of okay with a couple of plot and logic problems. I liked three and four better. To me, three and four is like episodes you could show someone if they don't know the show to say, hey, this is a pretty very an incredibly well written and beautifully acted show. So I really liked three and four even better than one and two.
Okay, that's solid. Is this the episodes where I'm trying to remember? I don't remember what happens because I'm up to
Well,
date
I
and I know
think
we're behind.
in three, that's where we find out the details about, what went on in France. What
Oh, we get the
the
flashback
we get the
flashback with
flashback
Chapman.
about what happened with when David sent one of his guys to make a trade.
Yeah, that was Chapman. And then they pick up a girl. He traded a bunch of guns and a bunch of IDs and a bunch of money for this girl, and we don't know who this girl is.
Yeah, and who a girl who doesn't particularly seem to want to leave,
Right.
really. At the by the end, we find out that I mean, again, River has to go running because he's being mistaken for the guy who was pretending to be him because they look so much alike. And by the time in the next episode, he's still running and he's trying to get back. He's trying to get back to Slough House again, and
Well,
this
no, he's
time.
not actually trying to get back to Slough House because he doesn't go to Slough House. He's
Well,
only trying.
he's
He's
trying
by
to
that time he's just trying to avoid Taverner's dogs
have a
because
dog.
she's sent the dogs after him. And like Malik said, he just keeps stopping when he should be running even faster because he keeps being caught up.
So when
And
he gets caught in
he
the
should keep
house, I'm like,
hiding
really,
too.
dude? Really?
Well, I was going to
Really?
say one thing I want to talk about though is the guy they call the Terminator. Because,
Yes.
yeah, because it was like Chapman is running and he's like, someone's trying to kill me. And so Lamb sends his B team of guys to help him. And one of the dudes gets thrown through the window because he's an idiot. They're like, we're trailing a guy who we don't know who it is. And what does this dude do? He's like, hey, such and so. He's like, flagging down one of the other agents who's supposed to be undercover watching this dude, and he's like yelling her name down the street. He 100% deserved to get thrown through that window for his troubles. That's all I'm saying. I was like,
Yeah.
you are an idiot.
There's a reason he's in Slough House. Come on.
Yes, exactly. You have to
Yes.
remember that with each and every one of them. But the Terminator guy was like, I mean, that was crazy because they've got like four different people trying to take him down, and then he gets hit with a
Hit him
cab
with
over him
a
and then looks back and the body's
car.
gone.
Gone. I was like, what is this? Is he Batman? What's happening? Like, I felt like I was watching a different show. What the heck?
I want to point out the two characters who I found, well, one to me, Diana Taverner, she has some of the most iconic lines in television show history in episode 4. She's telling off the guy who I call Bashir to this day.
That's the guy from Battlestar Galactica. It's the wrong one, Malik. You
Oh,
flipped
it's not
it.
him?
It's
No.
Baltar. It's
It's
Baltar
Baltar.
from Battlestar.
From Battlestar. Yes. Okay. That's right. All right.
You knew
From
that. You knew that.
I did know that. But so one, I still love his character. Like every moment he's on screen, I take joy in watching him. But when Taverner was talking to him and she said something very rude to him and insubordinate, he was like, "I'll give you a moment to take that back." And she's like, "I'll take back the sentiment, not the content." It's like, wow.
She's like, I'll take back the tone. I
The
think she said,
tone, right?
like,
Not the
I'll take back the
content.
tone, but not the content.
Yes, yeah. And then when she was talking to her subordinate, who seemed to think that she was going to have a different idea about what to do, just the way she put her down, it was beautiful. So I
Well,
think
she threatened
that's.
her. She actually, it was the most polite threat I have ever heard. I mean, she's basically telling her she's going to destroy her career if she does, anything out of line, but she does it in this polite, almost concerned way that is absolutely like, well, beautiful.
Yeah. So to me, the beauty here is both story and structure are on, but dialogue is pristine as well. And we just there are too many
Oh,
shows
it
where we
always
don't
is
get
with this
that.
show.
Yeah.
Isn't it in 4 that we find out that Hugo Weaving's character, by the way, almost didn't recognize him because with the
Oh, with the
beard
me too, yeah.
and the American accent, and he's filled out some since Lord of the Rings, but he's this CIA really bad dude
Oh, he's
who
the one that attacked River. He's the one that attacked River in the house and set it on fire.
and maybe his father, we're not sure yet. I'm
You're
not jumping.
jump. Yes, you
Yeah,
are.
I mean he th that that
No,
definitely is a
there
clue.
is.
They
I
haven't
haven't
watched
resolved it.
ahead and I got that
Oh,
breadcrumb because he's basically formed a cult and having babies with the women that they
Yeah,
brought into the cult.
and there's the clue of the guy
The
that,
photograph.
well, also, and the clue is that the guy that impersonated him looks so much like him.
Exactly.
There's a reason why that guy looks so much like him.
Okay, well now you're going ahead, Libya.
No, I'm not. I'm just guessing.
Theorizing,
I'm
theorizing.
theorizing.
Because
I've actually seen further than this, but they haven't resolved that
They haven't
question.
resolved it, but
It
the
just has to
painting
do
is a
with the
big
fact.
clue.
Yeah, and they keep talking about how much he
How
looks
much they
like
look
this,
alike.
they look alike. Like, and then I
Okay.
was like, why do they stress that so much?
Okay.
So anyway, so it's all this is theory, and I think we're gonna wrap on that note, we're gonna wrap it up before we get into spoilers. So next up, we're gonna wrap up Rings of Power,
Highly embraced.
mainly because I was the only one who was still liking the show. And then when I got to the big battle of the penultimate episode, I found that I was bored. I was like, how is it that this is the biggest budget battle I've ever seen on television, and I want to skip it? Like I this the it, part of it is because it's the problem with the prequel is that the stakes. We know that the rings get made. We know that Sauron gets the rings. We know, like, the things that we know are going to happen, like, make it so that it feels there's no, it's not that
There's
there's
no
no,
tension.
yes, there's no tension. It's not that there's no danger, but there's no tension.
This.
So I just felt like as I cared about the other storylines, I cared about Numenor, I cared about the
You did
dwarves.
care about
I
Numenor?
did care about Numenor.
I guess somebody needs to.
I
Sorry.
Sorry. I
I
should have laughed
know.
so hard. Yes, yes.
I cared about the queen, the blind queen, and her the captain of the guard or whatever. I cared about all of that story, but I have to say that the more we saw Sauron, it's like the more you see the creature in the dark, the less scary he is. So showing this much of Sauron and showing how he's manipulating Celebrimbor, thank you, I said that right. And just like playing with his mind, and I like the like the rat and the candle, where he marked the candle and 100% figured out that he was in an illusion and was like, what the heck is going on? And he breaks out of the illusion, but now nobody will believe him because he's been acting crazy so long. So it all feels like not only is he being gaslit, he's being like, but like on an epic scale. And I didn't find that particularly entertaining.
This season would have played much better at six episodes instead of eight.
So this is interesting because there's so I agree with I think I agree with you, Tom. On the other hand, some of what they address is so perfunctory that it's like they should have actually taken more time. It's a weird sense to think that it should have either been shorter or longer.
I
But
think we
Kevin,
needed
it's not
more
that
time on
longer.
the. I feel like we needed more time on the other storylines. I feel like
More
they
time on the
put.
storylines that people care about.
Right, because they spent so much time with Sauron and Celebrimbor and the rings.
The
And I
problem is,
understand that
it
the
was
show
the
is.
same story beats again and
And
again
again,
for
thank you.
eight freaking years, and they always cut to that. I wanted more of the brown elf. Is it Arendir or?
We didn't see hardly any of what was going on with him, and he's a super
He's
interesting
literally
character.
only in like
And
four.
it actually looked like they killed him at the end
I
of the
know.
ultimate episode. And then suddenly he's
He's not
back
dead.
and he doesn't have even any
He
wound to
got double
speak of.
stabbed. He got stabbed with like a really
Right through the
long
chest,
sword, a really
okay?
long sword.
I just think that it's incompetently showrun.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
actually surprised, Libya, that you just got bored with it. Like, your patience is like a Jedi's patience. I actually had to say that to a certain extent, the final episodes looked like weak episodes of a better show. I think the first, I don't know, four episodes were just grueling to me. The
They were
last
a lot.
three were slightly more interesting just because things happened. But I'll also say, you said you liked the, what are you saying,
Numenor,
Norrenmore, Numenor? Yeah,
Numenor.
to me, what kind of people decide to throw off their queen first because a big eagle appears next to a guy, and then they reinstall the queen because a big fish in the water throws her back out of the water, and then they deal with her being usurped once more. The storyline there to me was just ridiculous
It felt
with
like they were filling time. It
yes.
really did, because they just kept going back and forth over the same thing. Oh, she's in charge. No, she's not in charge. No, it's the evil guy in charge. No, it's this. And that they just kept, it was
Well,
like,
she,
oh
they
my
never
God.
really reinstalled her as queen. They basically just said she was not guilty. They did not actually make
Yes, the
her
gods have
queen.
determined you are inedible. So,
Yes.
therefore, queen.
yes, exactly. So she
Well,
just
no,
was.
they did because he had to use the military to overthrow her again.
No, he didn't. He was never not king. That never happened. She did not become queen. They
Yeah.
were. She did not become in power.
Why did the military need to
The
overthrow her
military,
people?
they basically wanted to get rid of her support. That's there's a difference. She never actually took power, but
Yeah,
she was getting
okay.
support, and so then he had all her supporters arrested.
The thing that gets me
That's
with the
basically it.
Numenor stuff, and one of the reasons that I cannot get invested in any of this, is that we already know they get
Yeah,
completely
they get
destroyed.
obliterated. Yeah, they get
They
obliterated.
are obliterated. They are, there's o just ocean where that island used to be. And we
Because
never hear from them
they
again. So no matter.
100% show that in the Lord of the Rings, they actually ride a
Yes.
boat down the middle of Numenor, and the only thing that's left is those giant statues, and that's it.
But
But
I want
hold
to say
on. And
though,
so we know that nothing
Argonaut.
that they do here politically is going to matter. It's just a lot of movement running back and forth, but none of it is going to actually matter in the long
I
term.
did care about some of the characters, though. That's my thing.
Well, but so I do want to say, both to Allison's point, and I think what Lydia mentioned earlier, there are other prequels that work, even
Yes.
though we know how it turns
Andor.
out. So it's not just that we know where this story ends. In any story, there's hopefully that idea of something being surprisingly
Right.
inevitable. So even though we know how the story is going to end, the journey they take us on, A
to be
good
worth it.
storyteller allows us to still be invested, even though we know how
Correct.
the story ends up.
Yeah, because you care
Well,
about the
also,
character.
I think that the key to it is that it goes a prequel that is that actually works tells us something that we didn't know before. And so far, they haven't managed to do that. And the only thing that they've done in terms of new information are things like, bringing in Tom Bombadil and absolutely screwing how he's depicted.
Don.
I mean,
Oh,
just
my favorite thing
mad.
ever is when they reveal Gandalf's name like it's a surprise.
Oh, I was, you
I
have
was
no
like, are
idea.
you kidding me?
Whoever
When
thought
they said Grand Elf, I cringed to the point of almost giving myself a seizure. I mean, it was like, oh, I can't believe you did that.
Whoever thought it was a good idea to make a mystery of the stranger's identity for season two?
For two seasons,
Two seasons.
I could
They
see
should
the
be
first.
smacked with like a large heavy replica of the Argonaut, because that was
I,
the dumbest
I, I
non-answer,
get, I get it.
non-mystery.
I get it in season one. Like they were trying to be like, who's Sauron? Like I kind of understand what they were doing, but by the end of season one, everyone knew that was Gandalf.
Yes.
Everybody. So
Is
yeah,
the
that was
Dark Wizard
ridiculous.
Saruman? Because he looks a lot like he could
I
be Saruman.
thought he's supposed
I
to be
don't think so.
Sauron, but
Be
it
I
doesn't
don't
make
think
sense
so.
that he is because Gandalf would already know he's evil. And so
Exactly. He actually he fights against Sauron. Saruman does
Sauron.
in the Second Age. So it and he's as far as Gandalf knows, he's one of the good guys right up
Right.
until that moment that he goes back to him
In Fellowship.
in Lord of the Rings in Fellowship.
Right.
Um,
I
so
just
yeah, it's
think that they
unlikely.
hired the wrong showrunners and it was incompetently
Well,
managed.
let's wrap. We've said all we're gonna say. I don't like being negative Nancy. So let's just move on. I liked it a little better than you guys, but at the end, I don't think it showed itself to be what I wanted it to be. So
One of
let's.
my writer buddies on Facebook said, "Yep, it was a television series."
All right. Next
Or
up.
was
Next
it?
up, guys. Next up, we're gonna talk about Only Murders in the Building. And we're talking about episode 5 and 6, which are the most recent episodes. Thank you, so we don't have to like dredge our memories or anything. Oh, and Yusen has appeared like
Yay.
magic.
Yay.
Do you want to lead us off with Only Murders in the Building? Go to episode 5, last week's episode.
No, somebody else start.
Oh, seriously? Allison, do you want to start off?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, okay. Adaptation was episode 5. And that is where they bring back the actors, which again, not my favorite part of the show, but I think they handled it a little bit better in this episode than they did before. I didn't want to actually want to turn off the TV when they were on. I'm trying to remember exactly
It
what
was
happened in that
a
episode.
photo shoot. It was a big photo shoot thing, and
Right.
then they thought that with the footprints, they could tell who the murderer was, like who put their foot up on the thing. But I have to say, what made me feel like there's a logic thing that nobody else was considering is that, okay, so Zaz gets shot, right? And then when you have the person get shot in the second one, it's also the stuntman. And the stuntman, it hits a metal plate in the stuntman's head and ricochets into Galifianakis. Yeah, I
Yep.
said that
Yeah. Hold
correctly.
on. What?
What do you mean, what?
I'm trying to figure out if you're ahead of something because what
Yeah,
you
I
just
think that's
said.
episode 6.
That's episode six, I think, Libby.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing 5 and 6, but
We're
anyway.
doing 5. No, that happens at the end of 5.
That happens at
Because
the end of 5. The
they're
shooting
doing
happens at
at end of 5, that's when they're
the
doing the
photo
photo
shoot.
Right.
shoot and right and then the shot rings out when they come back at 6, that's when you find out that
Who got
he
shot?
was shot. Yeah.
So, but it, my it's just it, I was just trying to jump to my theory before anybody else could say a theory, which is that instead of it being aiming at all of them, I was like, if we look at it, who's actually been shot and who actually has been targeted, we have two stuntmen. So it's Zaz has been shot, and then you have the stuntman actually got shot in the metal plate, and then it ricocheted. So the stuntman was the target. It wasn't like it's not who I my opinion is it's not who everybody thinks it is. So that there's where I'm going.
Well, but then we also find out that someone else was murdered as well, who nobody
All right. What is it? What's that dude's name? I can't remember his name.
Jeez.
Dudinov?
Dudinov, thank
Good
you.
enough. Thank you.
Yeah, so I mean the sisters, I have to say the sister brothers or whatever that's
The
about.
brother
The
sisters.
brother sisters are sufficiently weird and look at each other strangely, and you go, what is going on with the two of you?
I did like episode six, where they basically do act one, act two, act three
Right, they
structure.
do it,
Oh,
they do the
nice.
stress because they're doing their weird student film thing.
Well, they're doing their
Well,
behind the scene.
it's a documentary, and I love the way that they shoot it. Actually, I think that's probably the most stylistically weird thing that they've done on this show. The whole thing was shot as if it was from that documentary. So you get all these hidden
Cameras,
cameras and
yeah.
handheld cameras and things like that. And then we find out, of course, at the end when they discover that Dudinov was their teacher, and he was one of the victims, and their reaction tells them that they weren't the ones responsible, and they
Right.
start taking back all of their cameras and discover that
There's an extra
there's an
camera.
extra one
Extra
that isn't
camera.
But
theirs.
see, hold up. I have a question before we get too far. We still know that one of the sister's footprints was the one holding the gun at the house, right?
It seems to be, but I mean, it could be her, or it could be someone who just wanted to plant that as evidence to make it look like her.
They don't address it at all on the
Yeah,
show.
they don't address it. That was kind of my point. I just don't, because this show, so far, I have never guessed the killer. I feel like I'm close this time. Like, I feel like I might be able to do it. Because they're leaving, huh?
You didn't guess Amy Ryan season one?
I didn't guess anybody correct. All my theories, you can go back to listen to the podcast. I
I
was
guessed
never
season
right.
two correctly.
Yeah, I did not, I haven't guessed any correctly. So I'm trying this season to look at the evidence and not drop any evidence, which is the footprint. And because sometimes they'll be like, oh, this person looks guilty, but they're really not guilty. And then they come back and they're like, oh, yeah, they totally were guilty. So I just want to look at that and I want to know. And we had a whole episode about the stuntmen. And I think that's relevant. I think that that is important. So I think that this whole thing where you get to the end of six, where you get the I'm watching you, I think that's a misdirect because they're after the stuntmen for some reason. That's my theory. I still don't know who the killer is, but I think the target is actually the stuntmen. There you go.
Buy that. I would buy that. I'm a little bit bored with this season. I thought episode five was boring. I don't remember exactly what happens, even that was so boring. I just remember thinking like, oh, is anything gonna happen in this episode? Episode six was better, and we find out about Dudinov and that twist and that he's dead and someone's been cashing the checks. So it's not, he's not just passively dead. He's not like hasn't been dead. Like someone's been
What is that? Passively dead? I don't think I've ever
I
heard
love that
that
phrase.
term.
I don't know what it
Passively
means, but I
dead,
love
as
that
opposed to
phrase.
actively dead.
Actively dead. Not
Energetically
walking
dead.
dead.
I mean, he's like,
Aggressively dead.
there's something, someone is portraying him. Someone is
Or
acting
at
as
least, yeah, stealing
Yes,
his
someone's cashing
checks.
his check. Yeah.
Impersonating him.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I feel like there's something going on with his character, regardless of whether or not he is actually dead. Somebody else is impersonating him.
Right.
So that's a twist. That's interesting, and I care about who that person is. I'm trying to remember what doesn't or does happen in episode five. Because nothing really happened. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember if there was anything even
Yeah,
sort of.
someone got shot at the end of episode
Galifianakis
five.
gets
At the
shot at the
very
end,
end.
effectively.
At the
Yeah.
very end. And then six becomes, very important and interesting. So I don't know. I'm enjoying this season. I enjoy.
I
I
kind of
it, go
agree
ahead,
with
Tom.
you though. The season started strong, but man, it's kind of lost momentum.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy the brothers sisters centric episode six, which tell us the story through their doc, and it fleshed them out instead of making them like grown up weird twins from The Shining. But yeah, this season seems to be missing some kind of zip.
And it's missing Meryl Streep. I was sold that she was going to be in this season as well, and they
and not covered in bandages.
I know, what was that about? Yeah.
Oh, well, the bandages, I think, is because isn't the show that she's in the CSI Burn Unit?
That's right. Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy, New Orleans.
But that's also just an excuse.
Intensive Burn Care Unit or whatever.
Yeah, but that's also an excuse not to have Meryl Streep when you don't need to have her. And then I did like that conversation where who starts a super meaningful I love you conversation with, no, you don't speak. Just so that we know that whatever's going on, it's going to be bad. Like, we know that it's either somebody else on the phone or something weird is going to happen. Nobody starts a conversation like that. Anyway, but let's move on. Next up, we are going to talk Fight Night. And Malik, you're up to date. So lead us on this, because I don't know if I'm up to, I might be ahead. For Fight Night.
Oh, I'm not sure if you want me to start because I'm still not a fan of this show.
I love.
Spoiler. I've been trying to watch it, and I keep turning it off. I keep pausing it.
I love what this show could have been.
Okay.
I love with the premise and the actors that they gathered for this show. I love what it could have been. I continue to have challenges with the structure, the order, the tone, and with Kevin Hart.
So really, it's just Kevin Hart is really what your issue is what you're saying.
No, no, all of that. I mean, if the other things were in place, he might be, you might be able to just deal with it a little bit. But to remind us what's happened. So, and what did we say we were? Were we in 5 and 6?
No.
We're 5, 6, 7.
3 and 4.
3 and 4.
3 and 4.
The robbery just happened.
Okay, like, right. So the robbery is in progress.
Robbery is in progress.
Right. So episode 3 picks up with the robbery in progress, and much of the episode is a robbery still happening.
Now, first of all, I have a problem with this. This is my problem. Who robs somebody for like 4 hours? Like, what are you doing? It's an armed robbery. The whole idea, you get in, you get out. In and out. Like, that's basic. That is basic. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, they try to create tension in that. Because the robbery is happening so long, all of the things that could go wrong, anything from the people inside figuring out a plan to free themselves, which they end up doing. Actually, they try a couple different ways with the idea that maybe someone from the outside gets wind of it. All of these possible things
so
that can happen.
There are so many things that... My yes. problem with it, there's so many things that could go wrong with this plan. It's an insane plan. Like, it's not
Isn't
even
it
a plan.
Based on an actual robbery?
You gotta
yes,
remember,
it actually
the bare bones of the story, this happened. So,
I know, so basically, you just have to complain that the robbers are idiots.
Yes. Exactly. So yes. What do you do when the robbers are idiots? How do you show that to us? And I don't think they answer that question really well. The other B story that's happening in that episode is Muhammad Ali essentially after his fight. So he's won the fight. And essentially, they remind us that racism still exists in the late 60s.
Shocker.
Early 70s.
Yeah. And he goes and celebrates with the neighborhood, which is cool. There's a nice conversation between Ali and Don Cheadle in the car heading to, I can't remember whether it's the party or to the airport.
I think it's to the airport.
Yeah. So that's a nice moment. It's a good moment, largely because Don Cheadle is in it. Mm-hmm. But also that's a well-written scene. It's one of the scenes that I appreciated out of the many scenes that I did not. I can't remember whether this happens now in 4 or 5, but in the party, you know, they have this moment, which is almost like a moment that happened in Crash, and it's happened in a couple of other moments where Waffle Man, Chicken Man, whatever his name is,
You said Waffle Man.
Call him
Chicken
Roscoe.
And Waffle Man
is watching his woman having to strip for the rest of the party.
That's
and absurd. The idea of that, if it had been well written and conceived, could have been interesting. It was not. I know it was intended to kind of show both the cruelty of one of the robbers and some emotional stuff for both Vivian and Chicken Man in that scenario, but it just wasn't successfully completed from my standpoint.
Which is a shame because she's an Oscar-nominated actor and she's a force of nature. There was something in that scene that didn't quite work, and I second Brother Malik's observation. I'm wondering if this is another show that would have benefited from fewer episodes, because if you're finishing the heist by the end of three, beginning of four, and then everything else is aftermath, did you need, is it 8 to 10 episodes?
Well, the thing is, the reason that they're doing the aftermath is because what happens after the robbery.
Right.
Like, that's the thing that becomes a legend in Atlanta, is because they robbed a bunch of real big time gangsters, there's a lot of repercussions.
Which is always a bad idea, I might add.
It's a very bad idea. And so
I'm not robbing Sam Jackson. I don't care if he's a gangster. Or nothing, no matter what. I take a look at him and be like, nope.
Nope. So it's the reason that there are more episodes is because of all the repercussions that happen. And this is the part where it becomes fiction. Because they know, they have so many eyewitnesses to the robbery and to Ali and the fight, and then the cop who's the first, you know, the first black detective. They have all this information about those guys. But what they don't know is basically there were a bunch of murders that happened after this robbery that everyone assumes is connected to the robbery.
Aftermath.
But the cases never really got solved. So there's no definitive information. So now, where we're about to go in the next couple episodes is, this is where it becomes speculation.
Speculation.
This is where it becomes, we're guessing what happened, because they said there were a lot of bodies that showed up after. So the gangsters basically just started killing people, trying to get them to talk, to figure out who was behind it. And so that's the speculation part. But the first four episodes are much more closer to the actual events.
I have to say, though, that I mean, I am caught up as far as the show is concerned. And I will have to say, even when we get to the end of episode four, which we're talking about here, once we get past the Muhammad Ali stuff, mm-hmm. the tone of the show and the pacing of the show picks
changes.
Up and improves.
Yeah.
And it's like at that point, they're free to do what they want. And I think it just has a much more cohesive feel to the scenes, you know, that we're shown from
where
that
they were
point
obligated
on.
To the facts, and now they could be fiction.
Yeah, and now we can get beyond like the dubious Muhammad Ali performance, and you know,
the alleged Muhammad
the
Ali.
The alleged
performance.
Muhammad Ali. we can get past that, and we can just sort of let the storyline play out the way they want to, and I think it works much better. Because yeah, I at the beginning I was having a hard time getting involved in the show, but the further along it went, the more interesting I found it to be, and the more the scenes hung together, and the more I cared about the characters. Although I have to disagree with the thing with the striptease with Taraji and
Beyonce. It made me uncomfortable.
It made me very uncomfortable. I think there's a difference between what a woman sees when she sees that scene and what a man does. Because I was not really squirming.
Let her say what she's saying, Libby. I want to hear what she's saying.
I was agreeing.
I felt extremely uncomfortable. I felt her violation, and it's like I was like almost pleading with the screen to make it end.
Yeah.
It was bad. So yeah. I think that there is a difference. I took that scene very personally.
Yeah, I did not like that scene, but not because I thought it was performed badly. It was because I did not want to be watching it.
That's right.
And they did it. They did that part. I thought was done. I think you guys are seeing it from like Kevin Hart's perspective, like he's supposed to be mad or whatever. But for me, I was with Taraji, and I did not I was not happy. Yeah, I thought it worked well from that perspective.
So one, thank you for pointing that out and calling that out. I think we're supposed to feel two things. I think we're supposed to feel her discomfort and his and them as a couple, because it's one thing, if we're just talking about it from Taraji's perspective, it's one thing to be embarrassed like that just publicly, but also with your romantic partner present, I think that should add another layer to things. And that's the piece that I thought, not any dig on Taraji, because I also thought her performance was incredible, but I thought what was missing was the her and Kevin Hart's reaction to that moment. But I appreciate what
Well,
you're
I
saying.
think from his perspective, the bad part of this is that, he is emotionally involved with her, physically involved with her, and he can't do anything to rescue her or prevent this from happening in any way. There's nothing he can do to save her from this. But from her perspective, I think it's mostly her because she is being just not physically, but visually violated in this
Violated.
scene.
Yeah, because you were saying she's being embarrassed. And it was not
No,
embarrassment. It
she's
was
being violated.
It was a different emotion to me.
But I agree with Malik that, and this is perhaps where, even though this role was a stretch for Hart, I don't think he's up to the task, because a better actor would have made you feel that connection between the two people, between these two people who are in a relationship, and that he is powerless to stop her, and he's just basically like gawking because he doesn't know what else to do. And that's a problem.
So I agree again, Allison, your point is well taken, that from the woman's perspective, it's and she was the central person experiencing the thing. Yes, as a man, I can imagine what would happen, how I would feel if that were happening to a woman I was connected to and I were present. I have to go, I automatically go there. And that's why it was not satisfying to see Kevin Hart's reaction to it.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's move on though. Let's move on. I think some of us still are liking the show overall. And I think I'm really excited to see now that we're off book, I guess,
The
off
height.
actual, off the heist and off of stuff that everyone has pretty much confirmed happened. And now we're in storytelling portion of the story. I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Well, one more
So,
thing that's a positive, because I have a lot of problems with this show, but I do want to point out the gems that are happening. I also really appreciated the scene between Sam Jackson and Terrence Howard when Sam Jackson puts Terrence Howard in his place. One, because it was well written, both of them are phenomenal actors, and Terrence Howard was able to be put in his place, which, if you know who that actor is, that's a tough thing for him to do, to actually be put in his place on screen. And he handled that moment beautifully. So I thought that was a beautiful scene.
All right. Moving on, we're going to talk about Agatha All Along, and we're going to talk about the first two episodes. And this is a show that I thought we didn't need. Like, if you had asked me before, actually, I did say this before it aired, which was I was like, who was asking for this show? It wasn't me.
Catherine
And
Hahn's agent.
because I remember watching WandaVision
WandaVision.
and thinking it was great. And if I wanted a spinoff of anything, it would have been with what's her name? She got the movie though, the Marvel's movie.
Tiana Paris.
So I was more interested in her character, and Agatha was the villain that we defeated. Why would I want a show about that? However, now that I have seen several episodes of the show, and we're only going to talk about the first two, and I'm glad that they debuted with two because the first one was a little shaky.
Well,
Well, because they had to deal with where they left off with WandaVision, which was she was still under the curse.
it was table setting. It was table
it's a
setting.
table setting.
They had to like set they'd be like, oh, remember WandaVision when she was still under the curse and blah 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 blah. And so we had to have a series of events happen to break the curse. And then you had to have actions to figure out where she was going next. And it was just a lot of talky talk talk stuff.
More of a hex than a curse, but
True. Okay, so but by the time you actually tell you what they tell you what the stakes are, which is it's all about trying to get her power back, and therefore she needs a coven to try to walk the Witch's Road to get her power. Like once you establish that's the point of this series, then the series takes off. Like that's when you get the momentum.
avoid those seven or five witches they're coming to kill her. Like
Yeah, and
that's
those guys were scary.
yeah
Those
they did a nice
scary.
job with the witches, those witches. Yeah,
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to run into those dudes
I was
either. So,
invested. I was
yeah.
invested in her getting to her getting, away. I think
Yeah.
that's important because it to me it brought a gravitas to the show that I didn't think was going to have. I wasn't sure what direction they were going to go with the show, and I still don't because I've only seen two episodes. But for me, there has to the stakes have to matter, and for her just to get just her just getting her power back wasn't enough for me. The fact that, she enlists these other witches that want their power back, like I'm interested. And that random one, although the woman from that 70s show, I don't really like that. That's
is
her.
so that is so hilarious because
Yeah.
she literally just goes and gets her neighbor and she's like, hey, do you want to come to like a dinner party we're having in the
Yeah.
basement?
That was
Don't worry about it.
hilarious.
Don't
And
worry
she was
about
like,
it. Her
sure. Cluelessness is so great, though. It's like, am I supposed
Oh,
to know this song?
yes, that was great when she said that. She's so game. She's like trying like to just be like, I'm just gonna be a good party guest. I'm gonna go along with all of this. She's great comedy relief. So I like
Yeah.
her as the comedy relief. I like the witches as the your antagonist or
They're
your
more protagonists because
protagonist.
actually Agatha is the antagonist. She's the bad guy.
Well,
Well,
no,
I think she's
when in this show though,
Yeah, the show it's a little different.
it's
She's
supposed to
anti-hero,
and
yeah.
she's supposed to be
I was
She's
not
an
sure.
anti-hero. She's an
She's an
anti-hero.
anti-hero.
I'm just
Exactly.
saying I'm not on her side for the first few
Yeah, I am.
episodes.
I
I am
am. I am.
not. She is
I
a
want.
terrible person.
I think Yusin was talking about stakes, and in the third episode, which we haven't gotten to, they do bring up additional stakes for Agatha, which I think humanize her a great deal. I'm not going to go into that, but when you were saying who wanted this show, I kind of wanted this show. I
I
thought she
did.
was a great villain,
Me
and
too.
she was funny as hell, and Catherine Hahn
Everyone.
is brilliant.
She is. I would agree.
I was really there it's I was of two minds really. When they first ended WandaVision, I was like, yes, I want to see more of this character. But there's been so many misfires down the road with the MCU that I was kind of dubious about what this would end up looking like, and if this is this going to be, another WandaVision or Loki, or is this going to be something more like,
She
the
woman, she or
She-Hulk.
She
She-Hulk.
Hulk. It's like, I mean, it could go either way. We just don't know. So I was a little bit dodgy about that. And the beginning was a little iffy. The very first episode, I think they came they wanted to repeat the same thing with WandaVision by having her immersed in this fake reality, but they went on too long with it.
Well,
thank
It's
you.
like it was a great idea, but they stretched it out way too far. And after a while, I was like drumming my fingers, going, "Are we doing this the whole show?" So yeah,
And
that
I
got
thought she
like
was
old.
overacting. It was weird. Like the way she was acting, I didn't understand if it, like, I didn't understand what I was watching. Like, I mean, I know that it was supposed to be like she was immersed in this character, but it was like a caricature of like her character. And then I got a little confused. I really
Well, I
did.
think
I
it
was like,
was, the tropey thing of these detective shows where the detective always has to have some personal trauma, and that
right.
so it worked for me within those, but what just wasn't very interesting. And
Yeah.
it when she finally broke out of it was like, yes, finally. But that's my criticism with the first episode, was that stuff went too long. Once they pulled out of it, though, the show got immediately more interesting. They introduced her nemesis, who's tremendously fun, and then they introduced all the other the witches that she needs to go on the Witch's Road, and all of that was just gold. So I'm it hooked me on the show.
Malik's been trying to talk for the last 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Allison, surprisingly, I had a different reaction from you.
What does that mean? I'm a little worried.
So the beginning of the show, I had forgotten much about WandaVision. So I didn't know what this show was. All I did know is that it's in the Marvel universe. That's all I knew or remembered coming into the show. So the detective, and I knew there was something about witches. So the detective story where she's, I thought, pretending to be this character, but she's really a witch. I was actually really interested in what that story was going to be. So I was not waiting for that story to end. I actually enjoyed that story immensely. And then when Aubrey Plaza's character was introduced, it got even more interesting. Aubrey Plaza can elevate anything she
Oh, yeah.
touches.
Yeah,
She
that
is
was
just
good.
inherently interesting. So I really enjoyed the beginning of the story and was a little less interested when we came to reality. I actually liked her fake reality. I thought it was interesting. But to Yusun's point, Catherine Hahn was absolutely overacting. And that was, I mean, that's through both episodes. It reminds me of I'd been a fan of Winona Ryder until I saw her in Stranger Things. And I'm like, what are you doing? Did you forget how to act? I thought Catherine Hahn is just too big everywhere on this show, which, so I don't have a problem with not liking what a character does. I just think that she's acting in a different world than everybody else is.
Well, I will say this as you go on, because we've seen probably two more episodes than you guys. It's better. It's she does. They introduce some layers and stuff like that. So I can see what you're saying, and I can kind of agree. Especially in the first episode, I would agree with what you're saying. But I think that later on, just give it a couple more episodes is my point for her
So
acting.
she calms down.
She adds layers to it. And
Okay.
it's I think it's a lot better. I think it's
And
a
I
lot better.
think that the tone of the show matches her. So I think that it works.
Well, I'm having fun with it. I mean, I'm definitely I she hasn't turned me off the acting, and I'm excited to see where it goes. So I it's a fun show, and but it's not only fun. It seems like there are stakes, and
There's
I'm
yeah, it's
interested.
cool.
Oh, there's
Tom,
stakes, all right.
go ahead. Tom, you haven't spoken yet. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Allison. I think that they should have done a cold opening with the Agnes of Westview, which is a pitch perfect parody of Mayor of Easttown from HBO with Kate
Yeah,
Winslet, by the way.
right.
But it just took them, they had to drop the two episodes because the first episode is off pattern. Episode two should have been episode one, at least the bulk of it, establishing the goal is to go to the Witch's Road. To get your powers back, you have to assemble Coven to do that. And we have left the elephant or teen in the room. We haven't talked about him yet.
Oh
And
yeah, the kid that has the hex on him. So every time he
the
says his
sigil,
name,
yeah.
every
Right.
time he says his name, his you hear like brruh, 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 you hear like Charlie
Or when he starts
Brown.
talking
That's
about his
creepy.
backstory,
Oh,
he's
right, too.
confused.
Yeah.
But rather than play any guessing games about his identity, because I just think it's interesting that he's technically not a part of the coven, even when they
Right.
form it, but he seems to know a lot more about this stuff than many of the people, especially Mrs. Hart.
Well, Mrs. Hart is we've established she's kind of clueless, so
And
that's not hard.
although she was a green witch and didn't know it, dude, that song, the Witch's Road song,
It was
the secret
pretty. It
bell,
was so
it was
good. It was so
so, I
good.
mean, submit your Emmy ballots for next year already for best original song, because
That
I
was so
downloaded
I did too. I
it.
did too.
Listen to it. And the
Oh,
harmony is
it's downloadable?
so
Yeah.
tight. And I pity the person who had to tell multiple Tony winner Patti LuPone, you're pitchy.
I would agree, Tom. That whole scene, the song and how they recorded it, shot it, It was exceptional.
Yeah, it was
It
beautiful.
really, yeah.
Yeah. And yes, you can go to iTunes, Apple Music, whatever you want to, and
And
grab it. That was
download both versions, the theme song for the show that we didn't like, or the sacred chant version.
yes, that
Oh.
comes later. You'll get to the Sacred Chant one is what, episode?
Episode two.
Oh, I thought that was there's another version, but
There
that's
is
what
another version.
there's
There's
another
another
version,
We
but we're
haven't
not there
talked about
yet.
that episode
I know,
yet.
I know. I'm just saying that there's multiple versions of the song. Anyway, I loved it, and I was pleasantly surprised by how much I'm enjoying this show. So I take back all my words
And
of
there's no real source
That's
material
very
for
big of
this.
you. What did you say, Don?
Very There's no real source material for this. Agatha
Yeah.
Harkness was, before WandaVision, she was best known for being Franklin Richards' babysitter. Franklin Richards, the son of Reed and Sue Richards.
Oh, okay,
Oh.
thank you. I was like,
She's never
what?
had her own book before this.
Okay. But yeah, it's really well done. And I can't wait for you guys, for the two of you who haven't watched the next two episodes, I cannot wait for you guys to watch them.
Hooray!
They're really, really good because
They
now
are.
you get into the trials, and so each episode is a different trial, and they are good. They are very good. So,
I'm excited.
yes. All right, so let's wrap this up. If you guys have any questions or comments, you leave them to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, we're on Facebook. You listen to us on sci-fi.radio, iTunes, and 6 Degrees of Geek. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.